Well, let's open our Bibles. We'll start here tonight. Let's open our Bibles at John chapter 3 and verse 16. We do this and just kind of as directed by the Lord. And let's read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. I want to look at this evening a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. Familiar scripture verse. It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore, what? I have what? Spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. The Good News translation says, the scripture says, I spoke, I like this, because I believed. I like that. See, that's a little different, right? I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. That's a little bit different, isn't it now? One of the things that we need to be aware of is that the spirit of faith affects every area of your life. Faith affects. So the spirit of faith, we could say, affects every area of your life. I know I'm going to read this, Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. See, where does faith come out of? Out of your heart. Faith comes out of your heart. So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the extremities, the boundaries of your life. I like there's a couple of translations that I like in Proverbs 4:23. It says, this is the complete Jewish Bible. It says, above everything else, guard your heart, for it is the source of life's consequences. So we could say there can be good consequences and there can be some negative consequences, couldn't there be? Absolutely. So this says the issues, the things that flow out of our heart are the what? The source of life's consequences. The Good News translation says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's a Good News translation. And the New Century version says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Would you not say then that you could say is an attitude, isn't it? It's an attitude. And so we start talking about the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith, faith is supernatural, but the spirit of faith, that's an attitude. It's an attitude. So the spirit of faith, you could say, is an attitude. And the interesting thing, we're here in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, you notice there's two ingredients. See, he talks about the spirit of faith. Do you notice what two ingredients are in the spirit of faith? What do you think? Do I have anybody? What do you think is in the spirit of faith? What is right there in verse 13? It says, the spirit of faith, what? Ah, good. So those are the two ingredients for the spirit of faith. Believing and what? Speaking. So those two ingredients are necessary for the spirit of faith. And so what did we say here? One of the things that we were talking about believing. What was that scripture verse I read here? In the Good News Translation, in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it said, I spoke because I believed. So those two ingredients are necessary. First, you need to believe, but then you get to a point, you need to speak what you believe. So you need to, there's a couple of ways you could say this, that your faith will never rise above your confession. You can have faith, but it'll never rise above the confession of your faith. Or we could say it another way, that your confession is your faith speaking. We could say that another way, couldn't we? That what you believe, you're going to speak. So your confession, the words that you speak, is your faith speaking. Let me go back to marriage. How many of you say, I'm married? See, that's your faith speaking. Now, it's past faith at that point if you're married. That's a reality. But your faith speaking, or we could say it another way, you're getting on a plane to go somewhere. I'm going to this destination. That's your faith speaking. You don't know you're going to get there. You don't know whether the plane's going there or not. You get on there just because they gave you a ticket. And you have no idea you're going to go to that destination. You just believe because they told you so. And yes, you have some experience. You know that they're trustworthy. They're going to get you there all right. But the reality is you don't know. You have faith that you're going to get on that plane and reach your destination. But you've told everybody, I'm going on vacation, I'm going to this meeting, and I'm going to this place. That's your confession, that's your faith speaking. Is it not? So what we believe, we speak. How much more? I mean, it's just natural things. How much more should we be decreeing what is settled? And so when it comes to faith, of course we say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the spirit of faith, to me, is an attitude. If faith changes, or changes you, changes your soul, renews your mind, what is it doing? It's changing your mind, your soul, to do what? Think like God and talk like God, act like God. And so the spirit of faith is an attitude that, what do I mean by that? An attitude is, what could we say an attitude is? I choose. I can't make you have an attitude, can I? You choose to have that, don't you? You choose to have an attitude. Some of us choose to have some kind of attitude when we get up in the morning or go through the day, we have some kind of attitude. But you can choose to have that attitude, don't you? So you can let circumstances dictate your attitude. Isn't that not true? So the attitude, well, let's put it this way, you could choose to fear and doubt. That's an attitude, right? I can choose to have that. I could choose to fear or doubt something, or I could choose to have faith in something. Could I not? So that's an attitude or a spirit of faith. How does that come about? That comes about by feeding on the Word of God. That comes about by meditating in the Word of God. That comes about by meditating day and night, muttering, speaking it, talking it, listening to yourself say it. And what does it say? Day and night, day and night, day and night. And what does it do? It says you'll make your way prosperous. Now, if you make your way prosperous, that means you're going to change your thinking about how you see things, isn't it? So it changes your attitude. So there becomes an attitude change. And so the spirit of faith begins to take hold in you, in your heart, in your mind. And you begin to do what? Speak to things that seemingly in the natural may not be so pleasant. There may be what? A mountain in front of you. And so the spirit of faith, let's turn over for a minute. I want you to see something in Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's interesting. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, and it talks about from the beginning, and this all focuses on faith, what I find, you keep your finger there, but I'm going to just make mention of something. You stay in Hebrews 11. In James chapter 2, it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith has to have a what? An action. Or we could say it another way, faith is an action. And I believe it was Smith Wigglesworth said, faith is an act. He would say an act. Faith is an act or an action. And you can see James chapter 2, it talks about faith without an action is dead. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, if anybody has the Message translation, you can read that. I'm going to just highlight some things. If you have the Message translation, or if you got an iPad or something or a phone, you can look it up while I'm teaching this. But when you go through the various verses, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith, Noah being warned of God. Verse 8, by faith. And it goes through, by faith, by faith, by faith. Well, I like the Message translation because the Message translation in verse 2 says, the act of faith. Every verse where in the King James says, by faith, the Message translation says, the act of faith. The act of faith. Listen to this. This is verse 2 in the Message translation. It says in Hebrews 11, the act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. So their act of faith set them apart. See. Verse 4. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God. Verse 5, by an act of faith, Enoch skipped death completely. And then, of course, we know verse 6, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. And so you can go through, I'm not going to read all of them, but you can go through and see every single verse, instead of it saying by faith, it's by an act of faith. So faith has to have an action. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians and let's look at verse chapter 4 again and verse 13. The action, so we have faith is what? Believing. But where's the action? Say it. Speaking. So there's believing and speaking. That action is speaking. You're going to speak what you believe. And sometimes it's interesting, you know, I have to catch myself. Why did I say that? Is that what I believe? Is that what I want to come to pass? And sometimes I have to go, oh, that wasn't right. You know, we all do that. You're supposed to examine yourself, and as you become more sensitive and you grow, something may come up and slip out of your mouth and you go, why did I say that? I need to correct my thinking. I need to have an attitude change. We all go through that. I don't care at what level of spiritual growth you are, you're going to find yourself, something may come up and come out of your mouth, something you think. Now, it's one thing to think it. It's another thing to say it. See, I could think something, and if it slips out of my mouth, that's another thing. But we need to, if it slips out, you need to say, why did I say that? You need to ask, do I want that to come to pass? Do I want that? Is that really what I want? Do I really believe that? See, when we say, I can't do this, I can't afford this, I can't go there, I can't have that, do you really believe that? And we need to check up on ourselves. You know, God's been stirring my heart lately to just, you know, when He says, the people will come and the money will come, then why am I looking at certain things? I don't need to. Doesn't mean I'm not responsible. Doesn't mean that we are not good stewards, but we're not concerned. You understand the difference? You could have bills piled up. You could have things that are seemingly impossible to change in your life. Are you letting that dictate your words? See, it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, in a job or in the ministry or personal. What are you letting, what caused you to say that? And that's the spirit of faith, because if there's an attitude that I can do all things through Christ, see, David didn't get out on the field and look at that giant. Sometimes we don't realize just, I think, what was it? He's almost 10 feet tall, wasn't he? 10 feet tall. See, it'd be one thing if you're 7 feet, that's tall. We had a member here that was 7'1". He was tall. And when we were in Israel, it looked like Pied Piper. You know, he walking along in Israel at the Wailing Wall, he's 7'1", and all these little Israelis are all running around him next to him, you know. And it was a sight to behold. Add another 3 feet to that. And then massive person. And you're a little something coming out there with a slingshot and a staff. He had something to say, didn't he? Goliath had some words to say, didn't he? Yes. I'm going to feed you. Are you what? What? But so did David, didn't he? And he didn't run from him. He ran towards him. But I think, again, that's the spirit of faith, that his attitude was, I'm in covenant with Almighty God. I don't have to bring you down. What did he say? The God whom I serve will bring you down. So he wasn't doing it in his own strength. He was depending on the God whom he served. And he was in covenant with. But it's important that if you recall, he had some experiences, didn't he? So he wasn't just walking out on this battlefield the first time without some experiences with God. And he leaned on those, didn't he? I'm sure he did. He said, hey, he delivered me from the bear. He delivered me from the lion. And he's going to deliver me from this also. And so we need to reflect on those experiences that we've had with God. Has he delivered you? Yes, he has. So why wouldn't he deliver you again? Why wouldn't he deliver you from some seeming impossibility, a Goliath in your life? Why wouldn't he? He will. And so you need to decree it and speak it and say it in the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Mark 11:23. You're all familiar with this? Let's start with verse 22. It says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. In my margin says, have the faith of God. And verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, see, so now here we're talking about the spirit of faith here, aren't we? What did it say? Have the faith of God. Well, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and do what? And shall not doubt in his heart, but what? Believe that those things which he saith. We just got done reading that. Believe and say. Believe and say. Believe and say. So you believe that the things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he believeth, saith. If you don't get your saying, you're never going to have what you believe. You can believe you're going to have something, but if you don't say it, you'll never have it. You got to say it. Whether you feel like it, whether it looks like it, you've got to say it and decree it. I think it's interesting in this verse. What is verse 23? Let's look at it again. Verse 23 says, whosoever, doesn't it? Verse 23 says, whosoever. Say whosoever.
Whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
I'm a whosoever.
And look at verse continuing says, whatsoever. So let's say it this way. Whosoever can have whatsoever. Yeah. If I say. Whosoever can have whatsoever. That to me is like a blank check, isn't it? Whosoever can have whatsoever. But you can't doubt, and you have to believe the things that you say will come to pass. It doesn't say believe. You've got to believe in the things that you say will come to pass. See, you can't doubt. Here's an author. I have some of her books at home, Lillian B. Yeomans. They're very thin, and I don't know. I think now you can buy them. You can still get them through Amazon, I believe. And I believe they're packaged in one book now. I have them as separate, the little tiny books. She said something. I'm quoting her. God has tied himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purposes. He has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. So we have to, well, let's say it another way, we have to cooperate. We're going to have to be the ones doing here in the earth. God doesn't do everything. We're going to be the ones that actually do the work. We're the hands. We're the arms. What did we read? What did I read Sunday? I read Sunday this particular verse from Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is from the Distilled Bible Translation. D-I-S-T-I-L-L-E-D, the Distilled Bible Translation. It says, I consider myself as having died and now enjoying a second existence, which is simply Jesus using my body. He's using my body, but I've got to be the one doing the work. I've got to be the one inspired by the Holy Ghost to release words of faith so that he can bring to pass his will, his purposes, his desires here in the earth. I've got to decree it. I've got to speak it. And that's what's going to get the work done. That's what's going to get the job done. So we need to never... So let's say it another way, because this is talking in here in Mark 11:23. It says what? Say unto this mountain. So you never want to face a mountain in your life with what? Your mouth closed. You don't want to face a mountain with your mouth closed. You need to speak to it. Or another way you could say it, don't run towards your giant with your mouth shut. David didn't. He didn't run towards the giant with his mouth shut. He decreed the covenant, which is what we're to do. We're to decree the covenant of God. Here's another thing to consider. When David faced the giant, there was... Another way we could say this is that there was a war of words, wasn't there? Goliath said something, David said something. Goliath said something, David said something. Goliath said something, David said something. Whose words won out? David's words. So there was a war of words, wasn't there? It's no different today. Your symptoms talking, your conditions are talking. You got to talk. It talks, you talk. It talks, you talk. Because it'll talk to your mind. You ain't having this, you can't have this, you're going to die, you're going to do this, blah, blah, blah. You talk. Don't sit there and say, oh, man, oh, yeah. Ish. You talk. Speak up. Talk to that symptom. Talk to those conditions. It's no different. Let me ask a question. In Matthew 4... What did Satan do? There was a war of words between Satan and Jesus. Was there not? Satan said something. Jesus said something. Satan said something. Jesus said something. It's no different. The spirit of faith has got to speak. You've got to believe that the covenant God that I have, this God that I'm in covenant with, through the sealed blood of Jesus, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm in covenant with Almighty God. And I'm going to speak words of life to that situation. Hallelujah. Don't let it out talk you. You talk to it. Speak to it. Be bold. Hallelujah. Think about this. You're in James 3. I'm thinking about this here now. James chapter 3 talks about the rudder in your mouth. Does it not? And it talks about how, you know, so great a ship is steered, even in fierce winds. So your destiny, the whole direction of your life and destiny is directed by what? Your speech, your tongue. And so, just the same way we read in Proverbs 4, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. You know, you may be faced with impossible, seemingly impossible conditions. I don't care what it looks like. You speak to it. You speak what God has said about you. You can have what God says you can have. You can do what God says you can do, and you can go where God says you can go. And you need to say it with all boldness. And those things that you desire, you know, I think sometimes I had a very strong, you know, at the homegoing service last night, I had this just really strong impression to go in this particular direction and share. And I think sometimes people have this opinion or thought pattern that God doesn't really care about things that they're faced with. I just sometimes think God thinks, well, I'm little old me, and you know. No, God is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He cares about everything that you care about. He's concerned about everything you're concerned about. And sometimes we need to have that, we need to have a mind change where that's concerned. That God is touched. He lives in you. He already knows what you're thinking and already knows what you're concerned about. And sometimes if we're concerned about something, we need to just speak up. Say, God, this bothers me. This is hurting. I don't like this. Help me. What should I do? How do I approach this? And God will talk to you. He'll give you the answer. But sometimes we just don't say anything. You know, we sulk. You know what I mean? We just sit there and pout and sulk and cry and whine and then bite on people, you know, because we having a bad day. Man, go to God. Tell him what you're feeling. He already knows. He'd probably tell you, oh, well, about time you said something. You see. But he knows, and I think sometimes we need to just go to God, ask him how I should approach this. I know for me, you know, sometimes even when we teach this, how many know this? You know, when you've driven to a, when you go to a destination, let's say I'm going from point A to point B, if you're not driving, you know, if somebody said, okay, drive back to that destination, you're like, oh, okay, let me how to remember how to do that. It's one thing if you are a passenger, and it's another thing if you were driving. Is that not true? And sometimes it's one thing when you hear how other people have gotten through a situation, and it's another thing when you had to walk through a situation. It's real and tangible to you. Is it not true? And so even when we share the scriptures and we're sharing these things and we, by the Spirit of God, are sharing these things, you can sit there and say, okay, that's nice, I got it. But when you're in the crisis, see, you may not remember these things. But you need to remember your God. You need to remember and go to Him and say, God, how do I handle this? How do I deal with this? I'm not feeling good about this. He'll speak to you. He'll remind you of a scripture that you've heard. He'll show you what to say and what to do. Or He may say, call this person, talk to them. Or if you're not even listening and you're not even going to God, sometimes God will put it on the heart of somebody to call you. You see. Or if you're having a hard time, sometimes He'll put it on the heart of somebody teaching a message like this because they're struggling. And it'll just lift their spirits, you see. And so for us, we need to remember, because the days that are coming and the days, it's gonna necessitate a spirit of faith. It's gonna require an attitude that I'm an overcomer. I can get through this. With man it's impossible. Nothing is impossible with my God. Amen. Nothing's impossible for me. If God has put it in your heart to have a business and own a business, you know, the only difference between being successful and not is really starts with your attitude. Because the doors that opened to people who were successful, where did they start? You think about, just in the natural, you think about the people that have started world-changing businesses. I'm thinking about Michael Dell. I'm thinking about Steve Jobs and all of these people that started. How did they start? They started with the little bit they had. And nobody told them they could. I mean, even if people said they couldn't, they had such a burning desire to do this. I'm going to do this thing. Michael Dell, he sold computers out of his college dorm, and then quit and started a business. So don't let people tell you you can't. How much more the God that we serve? He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. You decree that. Whether you got, Brother Hagin said it for years. He preached prosperity when he had holes in his shoes. He preached prosperity when he had no car and had to hitchhike. He did it for a long time. He preached it, why? Not because of what I had experiences. My experiences doesn't validate the Word of God. The Word of God is settled. And I'm going to preach it because it's true. I'm going to preach healing whether it's true or not in your body. Or in mine, you preach it and teach it. And it's the same thing. We have in the same spirit of faith. Therefore, I believed, and therefore, I speak. I speak what I believe. I believe I'm an overcomer. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe that the spirit of faith is strong in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to Revelation. You know this scripture. Revelation, I believe it's chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verse 11. Familiar scripture. And they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and by the what? The word of their testimony. and they love not their lives unto death. Hallelujah. So we can see here, it is what? It's the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb that they overcame by. Let's go to Proverbs 18 for a minute. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the, what? The increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know, I just a thought kind of came in my mind here. That in situations in our life, somebody may say, well, you know, I was born into these circumstances. You know, you may not have control over the circumstances in your life, but you have control over your words, and you have control over your attitude about the circumstances. Do you not? And that's the one thing. You may not have control over outside circumstances in your life. You may not, but you have control over your attitude about it. You know, because some folks say, well, you know, I was born in this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all of these things, you know, how you were raised and so forth. You know, I had this and my parents were this and so forth and so on. Okay, and what are you going to do? You going to talk about it, or are you going to do something about it? What's your attitude about it? That's the spirit of faith. This is the Good News Translation, Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. You will have to live with the consequences of everything you say. Yeah. Can't blame anybody there, can you? What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. This is the complete Jewish Bible. A person's belly will be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With what his lips produce, he will be filled. The tongue has power over life and death. Those who indulge it must eat its fruit. You know, consequences may come, situations may come, but what we say about it, we can determine the outcome of something. We can change a seemingly disastrous outcome and change it for good by what we say. It can look like we're going to have a bad outcome. We can change it. We can decree it. We can release words that we can have a satisfied, what does it say here? We'll be satisfied with the increase of his lips. Or it says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So some of the things that we say, we may not have control over. They may be outside our control. But we can certainly change the outcome. Or we can certainly impact it. I'll tell you, I'd rather live that way. I want to live with a God knowing that I'm in covenant with, that's protecting me. He's for me and not against me. He's for me and not against me. And the words that I speak can determine the outcome. God has already you know here, God has already given us a roadmap for this ministry. He has since 1985. He's given us a roadmap, and he keeps adding little road markers and saying, okay, you're going this way. Now you're going this way. And so he has some plans for this ministry. I know, some of the things, that's why you can be more bold in your professions of faith. Because at the time when prophecies and words go forth, sometimes they all don't make sense at that time. You know in part. You prophesy in part. You don't know everything. But I can tell you, we're closer. When God begins to unfold and show us the direction that we're to go in, you see, things now make more sense to me, where I was somewhat hesitant at first to decree that mall. I'm not hesitant anymore. That's our mall. Because when I look at what Dr. Price prophesied in 1990, when I look at what Brother Copeland prophesied in 1985 and said he's going to do bigger, and then when Brother Copeland prophesied, or he said in 85, this is a mighty church, and he said, I'll do the same thing I'm doing in Seoul, Korea here, bigger. Well, you can't fit in that bigger in this. So what happens? Brother Price comes along, says, you're not staying here. Put a for sale sign on it. How much clearer can you make that? And then Brother Copeland shares with Pastor Sarah in 2005, says, it took 24 years to build a foundation because of what it's going to have to support. It took that long to build a base, a foundation for something that's going to rest on top of that. I said, I'm building the ministry house. So then all of these things, and then in 05 or 06, he began to put in our hearts to speak to that mall. It didn't make sense to me at first. But it's clear as a bell now. And he hasn't revealed all of it, because I believe if he showed it to us all, we'd probably run in terror, because we'd say, not so, Lord, that's too much, that's too big. You'd start looking at yourself and say, how are we going to do that? I'm serious. You'd say, how are we going to do that? I'll tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to do it the same way you did everything else, by the spirit of faith. You're going to believe what he said, and you're going to speak. We don't have to make it come to pass. All we have to do is do what? Believe what he said, speak it, and that will cause things. That opens the door to the supernatural for God to move in your behalf. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a people that will believe him and say it, and be bold enough to say it. And that's what he's looking for. And as we do that, he will increase. He'll say, okay, you did well here, I'm going to give you a little more. Give you a little more. Give you a little more. And the revelation in God's word, see, that's the other thing that happens. That I believe in, Proverbs, is it Proverbs 8 or 18? I don't remember. You help me here. Talks about the just, not 18. I know it's not. I don't know if it's Psalms or Proverbs now. What is it that the path of the just is as the shining light? Huh? 4:18. That's what, okay, right. Thanks. 4, right. Let me read, thank you. 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So as we walk, it gets what? Brighter. Brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. What does that mean? More revelation. More light, not only in God's Word, but more light and revelation in what He's called us to do here. But we can't park. We got to move forward. Faith is an action. So we have to believe and speak. Believe and speak. That's the action. Amen? Praise God. Amen. So what are we going to do? We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we do what? Speak. What are you going to speak? Oh, really? No? Oh, boy. You haven't been paying attention tonight. What are you going to speak? What are you going to speak? Really? Let me ask a question. You're going to speak the Word of God, huh? Okay. A lot of people are speaking the Word of God. There's worldly people that are speaking the Word of God. There's sinners that are speaking the Word of God. You speak what? As a little kid say, ta-da! Thank you. You speak what you believe. You don't just speak the Word of God, but you speak what you believe. You speak what you believe. Hallelujah. Yes, we speak the covenant. We speak the Word of God. But you could speak the Word of God and not believe it. Do you no good? Isn't that what Mark 11:23 said? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and what? And said, believe that the things that you what? Say, and doubt not, and they'll do what? Come to pass. So it's not just reading the Word of God. It's you have to say what you believe and believe that the things that you say will come to pass. That's the spirit of faith. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we have to keep saying it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it because it's responses like that that tell me we need to hear it a little more. We need to hear it a little more. We need to hear it a little more. And that's okay. But we need to say what we believe and doubt not. And believe that the things that we say will come to pass. And that's why when things slip out of your mouth, you want to say, do I believe that? Is that what I want to come to pass? That should be something that we think about. When something slips out and we get in a roar over something and something slips out, we say, is that what I believe? Is that what I want to come to pass? Oh, no, 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 no. Yeah, exactly. It's what you're thinking about. That's why it's so important. What you think on, you keep thinking on it, eventually is what you're going to believe. And what you believe is what you're going to say. And what you say can become your destiny. Or it says the consequences of your life. And we don't want that. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for taking the time that we can remind ourselves of the spirit of faith. And what we feed upon your word and believe and say what we believe in Jesus' name. Thank you for the direction of your spirit. Thank you for the hearts that have received. Thank you, Father, for the deposits of the spirit of faith, the word of God. and that it'll bring forth an abundant harvest of faith in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.